Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about us, more about the program, listen to past programs, and read some articles and things that I have there. And in addition to all of that, you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, and you can find out more about that. So we'll have more information about that a little bit here in the program tonight, but just check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. And let's see, we're going to get to our phone calls here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And we have got Terry online waiting for us. Terry, welcome back to the program.
Good evening, everybody, once again.
Yes, good evening. And we were talking about the heat there going into the break there in the last half hour. And so we never actually got to your question for tonight. So we'll do that now.
Actually, last week, I'm hoping that I think about things I say and I think about what you say and that. And last week, and I hung up, soon we were finished our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Something came to me. I said that you know, the will of we have to do the whole will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really mean by that is the will of the Father is to believe on Him whom He has sent.
Right.
And that scripture came to me immediately after a phone call last week.
Mm-hmm.
After our conversation we had last week, and He's the only way.
Right.
He's the truth, the life, and the way. And no man can get to the Father but by Him. And a couple of chapters came to me. John chapter 6 came to me.
Mm-hmm.
John 6 chapter 29. And that talks about the will of the Father. I'm actually in John chapter 10 right now. But
mm-hmm.
He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly.
Right.
He says, I am a good... This is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. It says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling is not of the shepherd. Who owns the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catches them, and scatters the sheep.
Right.
This whole chapter is just amazing.
Yeah, it really is good. In fact, I just recently finished preaching through this chapter, and I'm just looking back as I opened it up here. I think I spent, let's see here. I'm just looking at some of my notations on here. One, two, three, four, five, six. It looks like I spent 6 weeks in this chapter.
Yeah, so there's a lot in these chapters.
Yeah,
it is
a tremendous chapter. It starts with a tremendous presentation of Jesus Christ as the Messiah who came legitimately and came in such a fashion that he had the credentials. You know, because when you begin the chapter. When he says in verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. See, he's talking about how he came to present himself as the Messiah. He came legitimately to the door, and it says in verse 3, to him the porter openeth. The porter, I believe, is the Spirit of God who bore witness that Jesus was the legitimate shepherd, the Messiah. Others that were illegitimate, they would try to get in, sneak in some other way, because they knew that they didn't have the credentials. And so others that claimed to be the Messiah, they were thieves and robbers. But when he came to the door and presented his credentials as the shepherd of the sheep, the porter bore witness of that and opened the door. And as he opened, it said, and the sheep hear his voice, and he called his own sheep out by name and leadeth them out. And there were people like the blind man in chapter 9 who had an awareness of the scriptures. They were looking for the Messiah. And when they heard his credentials presented, they followed him. Others like the Pharisees that he contended with in chapter 9, they didn't hear him and they didn't follow him. So,
right.
Yeah.
And he, this is the will of the Father, that everyone, every single person that's in the world,
yeah,
on him.
Yeah. And
that's the will of the Father.
And I was going to say, there's a passage that kind of ties in with this in Revelation chapter 4. And I see we do have another caller as well. In Revelation chapter 4, it says in, I'll just start reading here in verse number 10, says, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, in this verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And that statement right there, God's created all things, and they're created for God's pleasure. For thy pleasure they are and were created. You and I exist to bring pleasure to God, to please God. And everybody that lives on this planet is created to please God. But unfortunately, we don't, do we? Because as you pointed out, one of the ways we please God is by, you know, listening to his word and putting our faith in Christ and following him. But that doesn't always happen, does it?
That's so, unfortunately, and for the people that don't believe, it's so simple. And I've said this time and time again, that, you know, all you need to do is believe what Jesus did for us.
Yeah.
What he came into this world to do. He died to save us.
Yes.
From our sins.
And that's
exactly what he did.
Yeah, and I like to point people to the Gospel of John, because there's so much in the Gospel of John that points to him and what he did and why we should believe him. And in John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31, it says, and many other signs truly to Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. The miracles and the things that Jesus did in the Gospel of John are written so that we can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing he might have life through his name. I mean, that's a fantastic statement.
Yeah, and we also have to recognize him as God in the flesh.
Yes.
Like, a lot of people believe in Jesus, but they don't recognize him as a God come down in the flesh and dwelt among us.
Right. They think he's Michael the Archangel, like the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, or they think he's the elder brother of Lucifer, like the Mormons teach, or they think that he is a lesser god of some sort or whatever, that he's a divine teacher of some sort, but anything but God in the flesh.
And when he comes back, then people will know.
Yeah.
It says every eye shall, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Right, right. And there at the last judgment, the great white throne judgment. Yeah, everyone. Right. Yeah, it's like somebody has said, you'll either confess Jesus as Lord in this life, or you'll confess him as Lord at the great white throne judgment.
Right.
And there is a lot of truth to that. Everybody will, but it's just a matter of where and when. If you do it here and now, then you'll have the assurance of an eternity with him. But if you wait until the great white throne judgment, it's too late. You'll be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity.
Yeah, and look, this whole chapter, chapter 6, going back to chapter 6 again, John,
mm-hmm.
our fathers did eat manna in the desert, and as it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Very, very, I say unto you, Moses gave you that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And for the bread that God is he which comes down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. He said, and then he said unto them, Lord, give us this bread. He asked them for this bread. And Jesus said, I am that bread of life that cometh to me.
Mm-hmm.
That like the he that cometh to me shall never hunger or thirst. And that's the whole thing right there.
Yeah.
He's the bread of life.
Exactly. He's the bread of life. He's the good shepherd. He's the door. You know, he's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. As the Bible says, no man cometh unto the Father but by him. So,
amen. Amen. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that up tonight.
Yeah, no, excellent, excellent. And in fact, like I said, I have enjoyed at our church preaching through the Gospel of John. And it had been a while since I had preached through it, and because I like to preach through entire books whenever possible, it's just been amazing how the things that begin in chapter 1 are built on just precept upon precept, line upon line, as the Old Testament says, built showing that Jesus is the Christ, that he is God manifest in the flesh. I mean, it starts with the very beginning. When it says in one verse one, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so from the very beginning, Jesus is presented as God in the flesh. In fact, when we look at the four Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew presents Jesus as the King, and the Gospel of Mark presents Jesus as the servant. The Gospel of Luke presents him as the man, Christ Jesus. And then the Gospel of John presents him as God manifest in the flesh. So the Gospels all work together to present those various aspects of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So,
In chapter 6, verse 40, it says, And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last days.
Yes, and there's that assurance of our salvation, everlasting life, which of course means what? It lasts forever. It never ends. And then the promise, I will raise him up at the last day.
Right. So Jesus said that, I will raise him up.
Yeah, you cannot lose your salvation. He said it's everlasting, and he himself will raise you up at the last day. So, well, Terry, that's a good points tonight, but I need to get to my next caller here as well before we start running out of time in this half hour. But we'll look forward to talking to you again and appreciate the things you brought up here for us tonight in the Gospel of John. So God bless, and hopefully you'll be a little cooler this week. Temperatures are supposed to break a little, so it'll be a little better up on those rooftops. So stay safe, and God bless.
God bless.
Thank you. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Cheryl, who's waiting patiently for us. Cheryl, welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you, Pastor Al. It's really nice to be here. I'm so interested in your last two callers. They have such a good point. And now I realize this is the same question I brought up last week, but it was very interesting. I realized that I was not asking the exact level of depth of question that I needed to, but the advertisement that was, or the message just before in the break that you had was the referred to this, which was the biblical, something like the biblical scriptural references why pastors would be involved in government. So I was asking last week, and I realized I wasn't asking specifically enough about the scriptural basis for pastors to be involved in culture and the world, and you gave very, you know, great pastors being salt and light and this and this. And specifically, I wanted to ask for scriptural references for pastors, and really it would be, you know, believers in general, but pastors to be involved using all of those things in government.
Well,
it would be the scripture that would specifically say, yes, you can be salt and light many places, but what we're talking about here is being salt and light and being involved in government.
Well, when Paul's writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Timothy is a pastor, and Paul says to Timothy, starting in chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So what he's saying here, this is a specific instruction that Timothy, as a pastor, is supposed to pray and lead his congregation in praying for the ruling authorities, the kings, all that are in authority. And this is a specific thing because, you know, this is more than saying, well, God bless our leaders. No, this is a thing that when the leaders are leading unjustly, that we would say, Lord, please get a hold of the president's heart, get a hold of the governor's heart, get a hold of the mayor's heart, and show him that he is wrong on this issue, and show him the truth, and help him to realize that he needs to be a faithful minister of God, carrying out your will, carrying out the work that you put him there for. So we pray specifically for these people. You know, in our church, we pray for Joe Biden every service.
I know we do.
Yeah, and my prayer, and this is what I pray. I say, Lord, bring understanding to his heart and clarity to his mind, and give him an opportunity to hear a clear presentation of the gospel that he might be saved. Now,
and I would say that you absolutely have fulfilled that scripture that you just said.
Yeah.
Fully fulfilled it. However, what you do in addition, and what I believe the Bible is addressing, is that you as a pastor go out and you are involved in government. You do know what the bills are. You do tell us, these are the bills. Write to your, you know, your person. We talk about, you know, standing out places with our poster boards and going door to door. Those are different things. And I think you have given us scripture that is related to that. I know you have about authority, you know, that, but I mean for a pastor who even wanted to stay, you know, staying in the church and say, I'm salt and light, I'm going to look at Timothy, okay, we're going to pray for these people in authority, and I don't have to do anything else. But I don't think that's what you're really saying, and it's certainly not what you're doing. You go out and do much more than that. You are a presence. And I guess what I'm really saying is that I don't think pastors, and it would be all of us, you know, believers going right with you, I don't get a sense that they understand that they should be out there doing something. Everybody can't do everything, as you say, but everybody can do something out there, reaching people, calling people, writing people, you know, on and on. There's so many different ways. I guess it's, you know, when you're talking to other pastors, like how are there ones that are kind of saying the, when I am, it's like, I'm doing that. They're in their office all week. They never come out. They're not engaging with people. They don't go and speak. They don't go down to the, you know, Capitol building, whatever. And they feel perfectly comfortable thinking that they have fulfilled what a pastor should do, which I'm thinking that's not fulfilling it. And by your great example, they would not be fulfilling it. So I'm looking for scripture that would, it's a command, not a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah, I and part of the thing here is, I don't know that I can give a specific verse that says, Pastor, go and talk to your government official. Or go and,
right.
and that's where the salt and light comes in, because salt cannot be effective when it stays in the shaker. When you stay in your office, you stay in your church, and you never go out, you're salt in the shaker, but you're not making a difference in the community around you. And let me give you another thought here. In 2 Samuel, and this is where I think we have to go back, you know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 there, I believe it is. And he said all scripture is profitable. And when he said all scripture is profitable, or chapter 3, I'm sorry, verse 16, he meant that it's profitable, and that didn't mean just the New Testament. The Old Testament, the Bible says these things are written for our admonition. And a verse that came to my mind, or a passage that came to my mind, is 2 Samuel chapter 12. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 12 in many ways is a very sad chapter. David had committed a grievous sin. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then when he found out that she was pregnant with his child, he called her husband Uriah back from the battle and tried to get him to go spend the night with his wife, hoping that the child, people would think it was Uriah that was the father. But Uriah would not go spend the night with his wife. Instead, he said, listen, the battle's raging, I can't do that. And he stayed away, and he was more righteous than David in this. So David gets frustrated and eventually sends him back with his own death sentence, gives him a secret orders to give when he gets back to the battle. And the orders, when they were open, said basically, take Uriah, go to one of the worst parts of the battle, and then withdraw, leaving him there. And David's plan was that Uriah would be killed, and Uriah was killed. So David committed adultery. Now he's committed murder. And there's a prophet that comes to David in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And it says in verse 1, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. And then he begins to give this story. And he talks a story about a man that the rich man had all these flocks. The poor man had one sheep that he loved. It was like his pet. And when somebody came to visit the rich man, the rich man wouldn't give one of his own sheep up to make a dinner. Instead, he stole the one sheep that was the beloved pet of the poor man, and he fed him to his visitor. And it says in verse 5, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And this is where the man of God turns to David the king. It says, and Nathan said to David in verse 7, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if it had been too little, I would moreover have given thee such things. Wherefore thou hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. So basically, as you read through this, the man of God goes to the king and delivers God's message to him, which in this case is
bravery or what?
Yeah, and this is a message of rebuke.
Yeah, really.
So when you want to look at something that pastors ought to be doing, pastors ought to be delivering the message of God to government officials. Now, in some cases in the Old Testament, prophets were sent to commend the rulers for something that they're doing that's good. But in other cases, they were sent to rebuke them for something they were doing that's wrong. And see, this is the instance of being salt, getting out of the shaker, where you're willing to go and say to government officials, it doesn't have to be a king. I mean, it's a governor, it could be a state representative, a senator, a mayor, a town council, where you're willing to go and say, listen, what you're doing is wrong. This is morally unacceptable. A pastor that goes to the school board and says to have this pornographic material in the school library where children can get it is morally unacceptable. You are wrong.
I think you found the verse.
Yeah, this is the...
You found it, right?
Using the example, yeah.
And there it is. I know, I can imagine pastors are saying... Tell me something. You know, you show me something in the Bible that I really should be doing. This is it. This is. I mean, there might be more, but this.
There's more. Remember when Samuel was sent to tell Saul, "Listen, you know, you disobeyed God, and you're not going to be king anymore, and your sons aren't going to be king."
Mm-hmm.
You know, boldness, speaking truth to power.
Yeah. Well, I know, but this one is really. This is really a specific and very good one about where your boldness is actually going and, you know, giving your, that's your role to take the scripture there. So I guess another question is how, what reasons do pastors say to other pastors regarding not feeling compelled to be doing that or being out in the culture? I don't know, when people are discussing things, what do other pastors say? I mean, I'm guessing they say, the separation of church and state, you can easily say that doesn't say anywhere in the Constitution or any place, but, do they give reasons that are anything other than I will lose my church because of tax status or?
Well, you do have some pastors out there who are convinced that as a pastor, you're not allowed to talk about this stuff, which is a foolish thought, but there are those out there who believe it. Sometimes you'll get the more spiritual answer. Well, I'm too busy, spreading the gospel. Well, the gospel is part of what we're supposed to do, obviously, but we're also supposed to live for Christ and like Nathan did here, deliver the message of God, which isn't all. I mean, the gospel message is important, but it's not the only thing that we do as Christians. It's one of the most important things, obviously, but it's not the only thing. And if it was, we wouldn't have to be salt and light in the world as much because we'd just be busy preaching the gospel. But when people get saved, we need to train up people so that they can go out and impact the culture around them, impact their community. And, of course, pastors need to lead by example themselves in terms of making a difference in being salt and light in the community around them. So.
But I think just in your saying that, that was an excellent lead-in as well, when it's that their role is to preach the gospel. Well, a number of all the incidents that go on these days while preaching the gospel is, intervening in that transgender and saying the gospel is, the good news is the creation of the Lord. And then I went, okay, so that's the gospel in that context. And the gospel in many other contexts is, you shall not lie. So we are, as far as spreading the gospel, you're confronting.
Yeah.
And confronting with authority and truth. Yes.
Yeah, we're coming up in the break in less than a minute, but I was going to say one of the things that I've done many times when I've had opportunity to give testimony before a committee down in Columbus on a bill or an issue or whatever is to say to the legislatures, the Bible says this, and you ought to consider it.
Oh, good. Oh, that's really good.
And tell them what the Bible says on an issue. But, hey, Cheryl, I want to thank you for that. I appreciate that tonight. And we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. In Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me and the program. You can listen to past programs. There are a number of articles that I have that's available there. And then, of course, you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. And we certainly invite you to come out and visit us there. Well, our phone number, of course, is 888-677-9673. Coming into the final half hour of the program here tonight. And I had something that I've had with me, and they've been too busy to really touch on it in the past few weeks. But I was talking about it again this evening with some people and thought I'd bring it up tonight. And they're talking about AI. And they're doing amazing things with AI. It's like you can't do a search online anymore without AI. And the article that I read recently, Conversations with the Dead Through AI, Technology is Taking Deception to a Whole New Level. And there are actually AIs out there. Hereafter AI, for instance, features the dad bot, where you can enter, you can basically, you can share your life story, all kinds of information and everything with this at Hereafter, and they will put all of this together, and the AI will take all of that information, and when you die, your loved ones can have conversations with you after you die, only with an AI that, in a sense, imitates you. And so as a result, you have this idea that your loved one might live on. The creator Dadbot created this platform in 2017 after his father passed away. And because of the technology, he says that he still constantly chats with his father, and that his deceased father tells him stories about his own childhood and different things that happened. And they found that when they record people's life stories, that sometimes they'll record stuff that perhaps their kids, their loved ones, their family, their friends don't really know. And so the AI will continue to give you this information. There's another group called... another group, I'm going to find the name here in a little bit, Anthropicum, and they have Claude 3, which is an AI version that has human-like characteristics and engages in conversations, and Hereafter AI has... also introduced another one here, Storyfile. I don't want to get caught up in the names of all these different groups here. But the idea is, when your loved one dies, you can continue the conversation with them. Here's the one. It's a technology in Japan. I don't see the name of it. But they have robots that look like and act like your deceased loved one. And you can download this AI into them, and the robot will mimic your loved one's mannerisms, speech, gestures, the just the way that it interacts, and they'll make the face of it look like, as much as they can, the face of your loved one that's departed, allowing you to continue to interact with your loved one long after they're gone. Now, when you die, you know, if you're a believer, the Bible says absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. If you're not a believer, absent from the body means to be in hell, and you're not going to be hanging around in a robot. You're not going to be hanging around in an artificial intelligence program on somebody's laptop. You're either going to be in heaven or hell. So what's going on here? I mean, I'm concerned. I don't know what could possibly go wrong when the Bible describes the devil as the prince of the power of the air. You know, what if he gets a hold of this? You know, the Bible warns of familiar spirits, and these are fallen angels that have an understanding, and they're familiar with people, and they imitate people, and they make people think that it's the ghost of their lost loved one come back. And so how hard would it be for the devil, for these familiar spirits, you know, the ghost in the machine, so to speak, to manipulate and to influence these AIs, leaving yourself open to demonic manipulation and deception? Well, one of the things I just wanted to share that with you, there'll be more information, I'm sure, coming out on these things, but give it a look. Look up this idea of communicating with the dead through AI. It is an interesting and concerning subject. Well, I'd talk about it more, but we've got a caller calling in, and we've got Mark calling in tonight. Mark, welcome to the program this evening.
Subject. Well, I'd talk about it more, but we've got a caller calling in.
All right. Mark, we hear your radio in the background. You'll have to turn it off.
Good evening.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hi. Are you listening to the radio in the background?
Yeah, I should turn the radio
off. Yeah, turn that off. It's on a delay. It's on a delay.
Oh, okay.
So otherwise, you'll hear me delayed. Yeah, it's hard to converse. All right. Still there?
This is Pastor Al.
Yes, sir.
How you doing? I've been to your place a few times. God bless. And, and all the knowledge you have of the Bible is great. I know I learn a lot. Aside from talking about this AI, the conversations you had before with a couple callers, that was where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to, I'm just like, forgive me for saying, I'm kind of like a little bit stressed. I'm trying to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got a calling for ministry, but, a lot of these churches around me don't really please me,
mm-hmm.
At all, because they all become like part of like who we are, focusing on, instead of really focusing on Christ,
mm-hmm.
and basically winning souls, they're like, look at, I'm the big pastor, look at my congregation,
mm-hmm.
whatnot, And I've seen people leave, and then pastors leave. They got new pastors. To me, it's just really not our idea of a church, especially like the last thing that happened, this guy goes, well, I'm the shepherd, and you try to call him and he's busy and you're not looking over me, and they're missing the number two, command, like you said, love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength, and mm-hmm. then it says love each other as I love you, and that goes for the pastors too. It's not like I'm above you, and I don't even got time to contact you. I don't want to make that church my home. Forget that. But having said that, like I said, you could probably tell I'm a little bit stressed and it's the whole purpose of what you guys were discussing with these other callers about the effect of the church, of course in this country, because that's where we're at,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus is going to ask, well, what did you do for me,
right
And what did Paul say? I fought a good fight. What'd they fight? I don't see that, not half of these churches fighting nothing, really.
Yeah.
Look how, I come to my congregation. There's nothing wrong with, giving them money, tithing, and building a church. Nothing wrong with that. But what did, I go back to it and I tell them all. I said, what did Jesus say? Follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he say then? I'll make you fishers of men.
Right.
Okay. If he says, like, I'll make you a big church, okay, then that would be more important. But the whole mission, in a nutshell, is winning souls, okay?
Yeah,
why does he want you to make you fishers of men? To win souls,
yeah.
Okay? And he says, wise is the one to win souls,
mm-hmm.
Like I said, having said that, I come from Eastern Europe. I'm not going to mention the mm-hmm. country, but I came here as a kid. I still believe this country was built on the Word of God, because
mm-hmm.
I asked God. He goes, right. You would have never known the Word of God unless you came here. You would have practiced your, I was Orthodox, whatever, mm-hmm. Your religion, and you would think that's all of it. But it's the same book. We got the, in my country, it's called the Holy Bible. Here it's called it's called the Holy Letter. Here it's called the Holy Bible. But same, five books of Moses all mm-hmm. the way to Exodus and the Revelation, it's the same book, one word of God,
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I'm trying to make my move. I've been called for like some 30 years. God's been preparing me, and I'm hoping to go into missionary, go win some souls, guys, speak
right.
another language, And I just find it that, some of these churches don't even want to, like, support you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just like, if you fought, excuse my French, I'm not going to say that. Like, if I kiss up to them, that maybe they'll find me important to, you know, put me in some kind of mission, you know.
Yeah. Well,
that's not the right.
Yeah, let me interject something, because you're talking about being stressed, and I think you actually have touched on one of the biggest problems that we do have in churches, and churches are organizations of people, and people have sin natures, including the pastors that pastor those churches, and sometimes we forget that we're not immune from temptation. We're not immune from the devil's snares. And, you know, I'm thinking when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, where he said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that saved, I think sometimes that the very fact that Christianity has survived from the first century, that churches have survived from the first century today to today, is evidence of the divine hand behind it, because left to people, we couldn't possibly have preserved Christianity ourselves, because people get lifted up with pride, like you said. They start getting a little prosperous. They start getting some influential people in their church. They start building a bigger building, and people begin to cater to them because they're the big preacher.
And the devil cultivates that. Real quick.
Yeah.
You know, if I may just interject, you know, by being called to, you know, I realize, you know, God told me, it was just the other day, he goes, well, you don't have the fear of God in you. You know, why you talk? And I realized why, because I'm hanging around those people that don't have the fear of God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he made me realize, and I said, it was, so like I said, I still got, you know, I'm still praying, and I hope you pray for me that, mm-hmm. that the Lord, you know, finds my path. You know, I don't want to idle. I don't want to just, you know, play church. I don't want to say, like, and they make these people feel like, oh, well, you show up and dress nice and you're, you know, going to heaven. It's like church is like just a Sunday entertainment, pretty much. I mean, it's nice to go to church, you know, to hear the good singing and you know, socialize. But we're missing the point, you know. You know, the salvation, like you said, I want to be trans, you know, I want to go through, you know, transformed and be a new creature. Mm-hmm. And see, half of these people, trust me, in my groups, in my Bible study, they have no clue about that. You know, they have, you know, what one church actually told me, like, they're, you know, they're so stuck on what they believe. They say, like, well, they don't talk about baptized by the Holy Spirit, you know, and I'm going, like, that's the big thing, you know, be purged of your sins and taken out, you know, to become holy. I mean, it has to be done by the Spirit. It's not going to be done by, you know, your human strength.
Well, right. That's where we allow the Spirit of God to fill us, because if we don't allow the Spirit of God to fill us, you know, we're always going to be restricting his ability to use us and his ability to work through us. Because we're always going to be holding on to some pet sin. We're going to be holding on to something that interferes with God's ability to use us for his glory in the way that he wants to. We need that constant filling of the Spirit of God. I'm thankful that, you know, when we get saved, we receive the Spirit of God, and we're sealed until the day of redemption by the Spirit of God. Because otherwise, I don't know how I'd get through this life, but this idea that people don't see the need to be filled with the Spirit on a daily basis, you know, this is where I think we're having problems.
We got to look out and say, like, you know, when he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, he knows our hearts, you know. It's mm-hmm. like, because, you know, the guy that didn't use his talent, you know, he got rid of him, you know. We were given some talents, and he wants that. You know, he didn't call us just to, you know, kind of look good and be church-going people, dress nice on Sunday or something, you know, and show up. And, you know, we're, you know, like, I'm not knocking you know, he calls us to, you know, forsake not to congregate yourself.
Yeah, the assembling of ourselves together.
But, I want something, like I said, you know, look what this country is going through with all the troubles. And look now, they're rising against this, you know, abortion. They want to bring back abortion again, and you know, such a sin. And you know, like you were just saying with these other people, like, you know, these churches ain't doing nothing, you know. You know, so where are we standing for God? You know, we're not standing for God. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, like you say, he's going to look at our works. Mm-hmm. You know, we can hoodwink it. You know, we can do, but I believe that, you know, you got to risk. You know, I told these, you know, I stood up to these Jehovah's Witnesses that I got in a little trouble, you know, because they're false witnesses. And God actually told me, if you didn't stand up, because I can't use you. You know, because you let that, you know, it was right in front of you, you know, and you just like ignore that, where they're going to pass, you know, this false doctrine to people and convey some kids or some families, whatever, to, you know, become Jehovah's. And you know, it was funny, like shortly after I was actually supposed to go to court and all kinds of, like, try to say I was disorderly, whatever. I went through all that. Nothing happened. They had no proof or nothing, so mm-hmm. it was dropped.
Yeah.
But anyways, right after that happened, God opened me. I had my first sermon. It was a church on the east side, and they invited me. I had my first sermon. You know, he used me. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, we ought to be able to, you know, move on from things like that to be turn that around to where God can use it. I wanted to touch back on something that you said. As well, because one of the passages that I had shared with the earlier caller in Revelation 4:11, where it says that God's created us, create all things for his pleasure. And I think this is what's happening a lot of times. I think sometimes people get successful and they begin to think the church is there for their pleasure, meaning the pleasure of the pastor, the pleasure of the people in the church, but it's not. It's there for God's pleasure.
Yeah,
for his honor, for his glory, and when we lose sight of that,
this too, you know, let's not forget that those that lose their life for my sake will be saved. The ones that try to save their life will be lost, or something like that. You know, it's like people are, you know, that's why, like I said, we got, you know, there's plenty of churches in the U.S. and then there's plenty of, you know, I watch a lot of, you know, TV evangelism like Daystar or TCT. Mm-hmm. Akron, Canton, you know, there's many good preachings all over the U.S. But we got to unite these people to fight for what our forefathers fought for, you know, to make this country great. You know, this is all falling apart.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm not trying to attack, like, let's say, even like the LGBTQ or gays or whatever. But you know, now, you know, they got the, you know, they're marrying and getting married in God's church. You know, I don't think that's God's will, you know, but we're saying like, well, it's okay. Just whatever goes, you know, you're a hater if you don't speak different.
Well, that gets back to where we need to pray for pastors, that they would speak boldly as they ought to speak, because oftentimes they're not speaking as they ought to speak. And I know we're coming up on the end of the program here. We're rapidly running out of time. But yeah, I mean, we need to.
Hey, God bless you, Pastor Al. And I'm going to show up one of these days. I know you moved from that other place.
Right.
So I might show up maybe this Friday or something in your Bible study.
All right. Well, we'll see you then, hopefully.
You know, and I mean that, you know, because, you know, every time you open your mouth, I know I'm getting the word of God, and thank God for that.
Well, I appreciate that, and certainly appreciate your prayers, everybody's prayers, because we do live in dangerous times. Anybody, myself included, can fall into the snare of Satan and be lifted up with pride.
You know,
and that's where we need prayer.
You know, like, what's more important? You know, like I said, how can you not love the one that's going to save you? You know, I mean, I actually preach to them and say, you can't save yourself, and you don't make him important. You don't make him first. You don't live for him. You don't die for him, you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it's sad, but the truth will be there. You know, you're not going to fake it, you know. You know, like the ones that said, I even used that, I think it's Matthew, you know, didn't we, you know, do good works, pray in your name, cast out demons? What did Jesus tell him? Depart from me.
I never knew you. Exactly.
Iniquity.
The very sad
if
thing.
If they're not going to go with Jesus, you know where they're going, the other place.
Right, right. There's only two destinations. There's no in-between. Yeah. And all. But, Mark, I want to thank you for calling tonight. And we're about out of time here. And so appreciate that call. And again, we do need is kind of bringing together things that we've talked about, different people tonight, and what Mark helped us bring together here at the end. We do need to pray one for another. We do need to pray for pastors. We need revival in our churches. I've shared before how that the Barna survey that's a couple of years ago, about 2 years or so ago, I think now, said that 2/3 of the pastors in America do not have a biblical worldview. And that gets to what Mark was talking about. They're concentrating on building a fancy building, making a reputation and a name for themselves, building up their bank account and all that sort of stuff, when instead they need to remember that, as the Bible says in Revelation 4:11, thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And over in Isaiah chapter 43, he also, you know, we also see where God shared in Isaiah 43 that we're called to bring glory to him. Let me go ahead and turn back there before we run out of time here tonight. Isaiah chapter 43, and as soon as I get my pages to turn here, it says in Isaiah 43, verse number 7, I believe. Let's see here. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And so we're made to bring glory to God, not glory to self, not even glory to our church. We are created to bring glory to God. We're created to bring pleasure to God. He created us for him. You know, the big question, why am I here? Well, there's why we're here. How'd I get here? God created you. He created me. That's how we got here. He created us. Why am I here? To bring glory to him. Where am I going? Well, either heaven or hell. Depends on what you do with Christ. I hope you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you don't, then I hope that you'll consider the claims of the gospel, and that you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because eternity's a long time, and it's what we do in this life, what we do with Christ in this life, that'll determine your eternal destination. You're created for his glory, and it starts when you put your faith in Christ, and then you can bring pleasure to him. Trust Christ before it's too late. If you've trusted Christ, serve him with all your heart. Thanks for listening. God bless. Join us next week.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.